This evening we return to Paul's letter to the Galatians, and we come toward the end of the epistle. We're going to read this evening Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 through 18, 11 through to the end of the letter, and then we'll zero in to consider verses 11, 12, and 13. So Paul's letter to the Galatians, Galatians 6, beginning at verse 11. Here is the word of God. See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father, we ask that you would cause your word to impress itself upon us. And for that, we look to God, the Holy Spirit. We thank you that the Holy Spirit, the divine author of this word, is also the one who uses the word in the lives of human beings. And Father, we pray this evening that as we gather, that we would hear your word, and we pray that your spirit, the spirit of Jesus, would work in our lives to magnify the Savior. We ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Always read the small print, because you want to be careful what it is that you're signing onto. You want to be careful lest there be some hidden catch. You want to be careful lest there be something that's being worked in there that you are unaware of. That small print may conceal something that someone would rather you not know about. You can't accuse the Apostle Paul of that. As Paul comes to the end of his letter to the Galatians, and Paul has already spoken in a very forthright way to the Galatians, he has admonished them regarding their preoccupation with works, a preoccupation that threatens to shift them away from a wholehearted reliance on the effectiveness of the work of the Lord Jesus for their salvation. As Paul has confronted them about that, Paul has spoken very forthrightly. He has been very blunt in how he has addressed them. He has left no doubt regarding what he believes, not only regarding the Lord Jesus as the only Savior of God's people, but he has left them in no doubt how he views their preoccupation with works and the dangerous territory into which they are venturing when they begin to look away from a reliance on Jesus Christ himself and himself alone. And now as Paul comes to the end of the letter, Paul says, look at the large letters with which I am writing. Someone has said Paul finishes out his letter to the Galatians with big sprawling letters as he brings it to a conclusion. And you can imagine the reader before the congregation of the Galatians holding it up. Look, here are Paul's big sprawling letters right at the end of this, so that you can know that this is Paul's writing, that what Paul has written, Paul stands over. I remember my a Latin teacher at high school who was more than a little eccentric, but when he would grade our papers and when he would mark our assignments, he would not only use a brightly colored ballpoint pen, but he seemed to lean on that pen with all his weight so that the marks of his grading went through several pages, and we were left in no doubt what he thought about our work when we saw how he had imprinted it with his own hand. And now here comes Paul. Paul says, look at these large letters with which I am writing. It's an emphatic conclusion to his letter. And of course, in those large letters with which Paul concludes his epistle, and you can imagine when we look at 2 Thessalonians, Paul is obviously in 2 Thessalonians dictating to someone, but then as the letter comes to a close, Paul takes the pen from the hand of his secretary, from the hand of the one who's writing, and Paul finishes it out, because it is important that the ones who receive that letter know that it is authentically from Paul, the apostle of the Lord Jesus. And so as Paul, as it were, puts his own imprint, his own signature, so to speak, on this letter, Paul, it's a metaphor for the fact that Paul is standing over everything that is written down in his letter. One of the early commentators in Scripture, one of the fathers of the church, Theodore of Mopsuestia, says, Paul writes in this way to show that he himself is neither ashamed of what he's saying, nor is he inclined to deny it. Paul is not going back on what he believes about the gospel, unlike his opponents in Galatia, because Paul recognizes that their display of religiosity is something that is a facade. They have ulterior motives. They're acting out of motivation that is not entirely honest. And in these verses that we have before us, Paul draws our attention to that. He exposes some of the false motivation that underlies their religious practice. What are those things? Well, in verse 11 through into verse 12, Paul tells us that they have a desire to look good. The Galatian congregation is a congregation of people who are influenced by teachers who want to look good, who believe that an important element of genuine Christianity is looking good. And so, says Paul, these teachers of yours, these ones who are stressing works and who are telling you need to be circumcised, you need to follow all kinds of Jewish practices, they do that in order that they might look good. And who doesn't want to look good? And of course, there's the problem. As Paul challenges the Galatians about that, well, I feel challenged, and we as the people of God should feel challenged. What is it that motivates us? Do we have a desire to look good? In verse 12, Paul begins the verse by saying it's those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised. And the language that Paul uses there, the term that comes into English as a good showing, well, literally it means to look handsome. To look lovely. Who doesn't want to look lovely? Who doesn't want to look handsome? Well, the Galatian teachers had imported that into their religion. They were wanting to cultivate a spirit among the Galatians that put a premium on looking good, on good appearances. And here are Christians who are stressing appearance and who are making that the essence of genuine religion. Paul says that's not so. That is a trap that you mustn't fall into. And of course, we can easily think of people in our context who make a pretense of religion in order to look good. We might think of some politicians of whom we are suspicious that they parade their religion because they want to make a good impression with a certain sector of the voting public. We think of the person who perhaps uses pious language in order to create a certain impression. We think of people who perhaps use Christian language, or who perhaps show up at worship from time to time in order to create an impression that they are religious people. And of course, at that point, we need to check our own hearts, don't we? and to ask ourselves, what is it that motivates the things that I do? Is it a desire to look good? Is it a desire to pass myself? Is it a desire to impress others, to impress a spouse, to impress mommy or daddy? Is it a show to impress our children? Am I seeking to look good, or do I have a genuine recognition that actually in and of myself, I don't look very good at all? A recognition that that veneer of religion is something that's only skin deep, and that without a change of heart, it is of no value. Matthew Henry talks about people who were very zealous for the externals of religious religion, content with as much religion as would allow them to keep up a fair show. In other words, says Matthew Henry, here are people who are intent on simply impressing others. Check your conscience. Check your motivation. How many things do you do in the name of the Lord Jesus simply to impress others? Jesus himself, you remember, castigated the Pharisees, the scribes, and talks about them in Matthew 23, where he says they do all their deeds to be seen by others. They make their phylacteries broad, the hems of their garments. They make those broad. They make their fringes long. They love the place of honor at feasts and the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplace and being called rabbi by others. They lap those things up. And you remember Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount talking about people who made these great flowery prayers. Why did they do that? Oh, so other people think, whoa, what a marvelous religious, pious person that must be. Let me encourage you tonight. Let me encourage the kind of spirit of honesty that lies behind Paul's admonition and Paul's rebuke of the Galatians and their teachers. Let's make it our business not only to cultivate a spirit of honesty with one another, but let's cultivate an environment in which it's easy for God's people to be honest with one another, not pretending to be something that we're not, not trying to put on a show of handsome, polished Christian performance, but rather having a genuine walk with the Lord Jesus. And then Paul talks about these false teachers who are influencing the Galatians as having a desire to be accepted. And of course, that's closely connected with the desire to make a good impression. They want to be accepted. Listen to verse 12. They force you to be circumcised only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Now, it's important for us to remember that when the early Christians suffered persecution, we often think of them being persecuted by the Romans, being thrown to the lions and that. And yes, that would come later. When Paul was writing, the persecution came not from the Romans, it came from the Jews. We remember Stephen. It was the Jews who persecuted the Christians. It was the Jews who opposed Paul himself. And Paul says, we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews. The idea of a Savior who was crucified was abhorrent. A Messiah who should go to the cross. The Jews were scandalized at such a thing. And these teachers who were infiltrating the Galatian church, they were inoculating themselves against persecution by being circumcised and having their converts circumcised, having their converts follow the Jewish ceremonies and rituals. They are blurring the lines. It's a kind of camouflage. It's fitting in. You're not a target for persecution if you fit in and do what's being done by others in the culture around you. And of course, if the Galatians were facing a temptation to blend in with Jewish culture by going through the motions and rituals of Jewish ceremonial, well, isn't it the case that we also are find ourselves tempted time after time to blend in, to be the same as others, to not stand out, not have the distinctive difference that marks us out as those who are relying on Jesus and on Jesus alone. Martin Luther says these people were more concerned with their own peace and quiet than they were with Jesus. To trust in Jesus means that we've no confidence in ourselves. To be accepted by the Lord Jesus. Who does Jesus accept? He accepts those who are repentant sinners, who come pleading no righteousness or merit of their own, but who throw themselves on his grace and mercy. To declare that kind of acceptance of Jesus and that kind of reliance on him is popular in the eyes of others, because it's a declaration that we simply don't believe that people are good enough to save themselves. We're not. Our trust in Jesus is a witness to others. These Galatians, they wanted to be accepted. They were ready to do what was being done by those around them so they wouldn't be identified as followers of Jesus. And then, they also had a desire to take credit that wasn't theirs. Like the hypocrites that Jesus denounced in verse 13, going back to Matthew 23, Jesus speaks of those who do their deeds to be seen by others. Paul says in Galatians 6:13, these ones who are circumcised, they themselves don't keep the law, but they want you to be circumcised so that they can boast in your flesh. They had an ulterior motive. They themselves weren't great shakes at keeping God's law, but at least they could point to the converts that they had made, the number of people whom they had seen to it that got circumcised and were engaged in following Jewish ritual. And there's another ulterior motive. Paul says, you thought they cared about you. In actual fact, they cared about themselves. They simply wanted to be able to point to the number of converts that they had. They wanted to use you as a way to pad their own Christian resumes in order to make themselves look better. We can imagine these teachers who had infiltrated the Galatian church reporting back, we had so many circumcisions this month. We had so many people observing such and such a Jewish feast this month. It was a great occasion. We did a good job. You should have seen them. They were packing the pews. Send us your money. They wanted to take credit. We are so successful. We're worthy of your support. We want, and they're being exploitive. They're exploiting the people of God for their own advantage. That's not what the Church of Jesus is about. It's not about people exploiting others for their own advantage. It's not about people seeking to use others to make themselves look good. It's about our desire to make the Lord Jesus look good. And the temptations to manipulate, to measure success in terms of performance, in terms of achievement, in terms of numbers, in terms of dollars. But that's so attractive to performance-based way of thinking, keeping score, the success syndrome. That's a caricature of real Christianity. Paul says these ones are falsely motivated. They're desiring to take credit. They're exploiting you for their own ends. They want to be able to blend in and not be different, but to blend in with the prevailing culture. They want to look good. The desire of God's people is to make Jesus look good. And Jesus looks good when we acknowledge our own helplessness, our own inability, our own worthlessness, but in the same breath, acknowledge the Lord Jesus as the one who graciously redeems, who graciously saves, who loves and cares for his people out of pure love, a pure, gracious, giving love. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that you would check our motivations. We acknowledge that we are not strangers to the kinds of temptations that evidently were racking the fellowship in Galatia. We pray that you would guard our hearts, that we might be motivated for us from a sincere love to serve and honor Jesus and to serve his people in his name. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.